Now, physical geography also consists of different elements, diverse elements. It includes the study of Earth's interaction with sun, seasons, composition of the atmosphere, atmospheric pressure, wind, storms, climatic disturbances, climate zones. Now, all this also comes under physical geography. Now, when we are talking about interactions with sun, say with respect to the Earth's position with the sun at different time. Now, we know Earth has an axial tilt. We know that it rotates around its axis. We know that it is revolving around the sun. This is affecting the Earth. In the sense that we have our seasons because of such things, the composition of atmosphere, how it is changing, what the present atmosphere is composed of. There are atmospheric pressures, winds and storms, and climatic disturbances. Now we know that different climatic zones are created because of certain variable temperature gradients and differences in pressures around the globe. So there is difference between two places, temperature and pressure. That's how the wind moves. There are cyclones which happen. There are other climatic disturbances which happen. Maybe a point comes up with extreme low pressure and a point comes with extreme high pressure of atmosphere that goes ahead and gives rise to certain kinds of cyclones or typhoons. So that also comes in physical geography. Then we are talking about climate zones, the classification of climate zones, microclimates. Now, what are microclimates? These are typical climatic conditions which are seen or are identified in a smaller area. That is a microclimate. It can be from a small square, certain few square feet in a garden, just a small patch, which shows some uniqueness on that particular patch, or it can be over a larger area too. The most famous example of a microclimate is the San Francisco Bay Area, wherein we see there are differences between temperature across the city. There is an area wherein block to block the differences of temperature happen. This happens because of specific topography, because of specific climatic zones in that particular region of the city. So that's a microclimate. It can be identified. So the study of that comes over here. Hydrological cycle, the water cycle that we are talking about, soils, rivers, streams, flora, fauna, withering, erosions. So these are the soil processes that we see, the effects of human activity on erosion. Say we are talking about deforestation here, which leads to erosion. We are talking about, say, wind effect, which can also come up with problems like that. Natural hazards, then deserts, glaciers, and ice sheets. Now, ideally, we need to study the ice sheets and glaciers because of the growing, melting of glaciers and ice sheets, and how those are playing part into balancing the temperature of planet Earth. Coastal terrain, ecosystems, and much more. So, when we are talking about ecosystems, we are talking about, say, mangrove ecosystem or certain specific ecologies which are important with respect to the region's environment. So this also comes up under physical geography. So there will be continued development of applied physical geography in order to analyze and correct the human-induced environmental problems. Now, this is something which is coming up in physical geography. That is, we are going to apply our knowledge about physical geography to make sure that we will analyze what are the effects of human activities and how we can make it correct. That is, how we can correct it, the effects which are formed on environment. Now, this process has been considerably aided, by the developments in technology. Now, when we are talking about development in technologies, we are talking about today, because of certain technologies, we can easily go ahead and have the data. Like, we can study the salinity of a soil, we can study salinity, alkalinity, the chemical composition of a soil. We have technology or computer programs, software programs, which can easily give us the humidity, or and then further we can study the air particles which are there in particular environment. So all this has made it sure that we have accurate data with us. So this has introduced many new instruments for monitoring the Earth's resources. So after, say, suppose we come up with a particular step or a particular strategy Correct the human induced environmental effect, we can study before and after. That is, before that particular corrective measure was taken place, what was the situation like, and then we can again take the data, compare it to know whether our strategies are going in the right direction or not. So suppose if we are talking about airborne and spaceborne platforms, suppose we are talking about how to reduce our air pollution, we come up with certain strategies, we have accurate data to understand and analyze whether our strategies are working or not. So technology is helping. The next what we see is the human or social geography. From as the name suggests, it has something to do with the human part of geography, that is links between human and geography. It is a branch of the social science that studies the world, its people, communities and cultures with an emphasis of its relation across space and place. So when we are talking about human and geography or human and environment, we already know that we are interrelated. That is, human and environment is interrelated. There are certain processes by which human will affect the environment, and environment of a place will also affect the people who are living there. So we specifically know that there are certain cultures which come up to that particular land. For example, the cuisines that we are having, there might be certain regions which include more of seafood as their staple diet. Why? Because seafood is easily available over there because of its proximity towards ocean or sea. Then there might be certain cultures which are using more of vegetable produce in their cuisine. It will be a part of their culture because of availability of that. And this has direct effect on it because of geography of that particular place. This particular relation is studied under human and social geography. It differs from physical geography in a way that it has greater focus on studying human activities and is more receptive to qualitative research methodologies. So the focus is on human activities, and on physical activities it was both the interrelations, or the focus was on physical part of geography. It encompasses the human, political, cultural, social and economic aspects. Now when we are talking about human geography here, it encompasses the human part, the political aspect of it. The examples that we gave were how political divisions and political conflicts arise and can arise because of geography. Cultural, social and economic. Economy in the sense what kind of industry will be predominant in that region and how it gets influenced because of geography. It focuses on the study of patterns and processes that shape the human society. So when we are talking about certain patterns of geography or certain processes which has a direct effect on the society which is formed in that region. So though human geography concentrates initially on the society, class, ethnicity, to a lesser extent, it also deals into gender, sexual orientation and age. The other aspects of social geography are the population geography, which deals into fertility rate, mortality rate and migration. There is also medical geography, which deals into disease and death. Now, what do we mean by population geography and medical geography? Now, suppose if we concentrate on regions, like there are certain regions which are having more of diseases like malaria, more of diseases like yellow fever. Why are these regions having this particular disease outburst? Is because say malarial parasite are grown only in that particular climatic conditions, which require the tropical kind of climate. That's the reason the malarial disease are found over there. So over here, geography plays a part into the disease outbreak. Similarly, there will be certain regions which might have a more number of skin diseases, or there can be deficiency of vitamin D, which is something which we get from solar energy or the sun. So there will be certain regions which will have more populations which are showing that deficiency. So it is the direct effect of geography. Then again, the mortality rate or fertility and migration rate also comes in this. The culture and economy of a place is also intertwined with geography. So earlier, like we said, the migration or mortality rate that we have, there are certain climatic conditions which will be more easier to live in. So the population is seen to live longer or live healthier because of the climate over there being pleasant, or they might not have extremes. Furthermore, there are migratory rates also. That is, most of the people would love to remain or stay at places which are showing pleasant climate. That is, it is good to live in. So there might be migrating. That is, the region which has extreme climates, like the polar regions or countries which are towards extreme northern hemisphere, which experiences very harsh cold, might be less populated than the countries across tropics or equator. So geography is affecting there. Furthermore, the culture of the world and economy is also intertwined with respect to geography, in the sense that many individual economic decisions in advanced industrial countries, like what to buy, where to eat, where to take vacations, reflect not needs but rather culturally induced preferences. For example, Europeans might love to travel to a particular region only because of their culture. They might want to buy or eat some certain specific food. Similarly, Americans might have certain different tastes. So what happens is the culture influences the choice of what we are going to buy or what we are going to eat. More importantly, the economic geographers investigate how markets for goods and services are culturally created. So let us check here. Suppose if we are talking about most of the people from India and China going to work in countries like USA. So there are cultural give and take between these countries. So as more and more people go over there, we might have there might come up many restaurants which serve Indian foods or Chinese food. So this is affecting again the economy of that particular place, which will be having intertwined or having a cultural effect in it. So the changes and the implications for both where production occurs and where jobs are created and destroyed. It can also be the industrialization that we see. For example, in a particular country which sees more of farming or more of industries which are specific to that region, say a region which might grow more cotton, or a region whose climate is good enough for growing cotton might have cotton industries more in that particular country. So more people will be employed in that country. So geography, economy and culture of that place is intertwined. Furthermore, political geography also is included in human geography. So there is geography with respect to political aspect, which is also coming under human geography. Now, globalization has led to cultural give and take. Transport costs have been decreasing, resulting of movement of labor and economic shifts. Globalization has led to creation of global cities, increasing the importance of urban geography than the rural. So here what we are talking about is the globalization, that is the global cities like New York or London or others which have come up. These are the main industrial centers. So what is happening is they are highly populated, heavy populated, and there is heavy pressure on the natural resources which are there. So there is urban geography which comes up and studies how the construction is going to take place. It helps in specific town planning as to which will be the residential areas, which will be the areas which will be most suited for some other constructions or business centers. So all this growing globalization and growing global cities are making urban geography more important. Furthermore, because of the shift, because of this global cities, there is a migration from population who is, people living from villages, going towards cities, migrating to cities, staying there. So there is a shift from the people who are going from villages to cities. Now, the recent popularity of ecotourism and village tourism have made sure that rural economy is also studied as good as urban geography. So when we are talking about, again, urban geography is also come under how we are going to use the land. That is, the problems like drainage system which might come up, when we are talking about city when it reaches its level where it cannot go horizontal, it has to go rise vertical. So that is what we have seen in Mumbai, when we come up with Mumbai and then the new Mumbai, and the Mumbai starts expanding more. So that's urban geography when we are talking about globalization. And here is where geography comes into picture. It studies and helps us to solve the problems which might be associated with globalization or urbanization. Now, the next one is the integrated geography. It has emerged as a bridge between human and physical geography. Now, when we talk about two different fields, that is the human geography and physical geography, human geography concentrating on the human activities part, physical geography concentrating on the physical sciences, there was a need wherein integrated geography as a sub-subject came up, which links both of this. Result of increasing specialization of two subfields. As human relationship with environment has changed as a result of globalization, technological advantages, changes, a new approach was needed to understand the changing and dynamic relationship. So, for example, if we are talking about certain processes and we want to check global environment and how it is changing, so we need certain facts or certain figures which can be given by human geography. That is, what is the impact on global changes of seasonal variations. For example, what we see now are changes in seasons, that is the seasonal shift that we are seeing. Suppose if we want to study that, we require to study both the aspects, that is the physical geography as well as the human geography, how they both have impacted each other, or what is the interrelation between both. So, integrated geography will be a subsection which can make sure that these come make us study the subject or the research subject better. So, it represents a critically important set of analytical tools for assessing the impact of human presence and activity on the environment, natural landforms and cycles. So here we are talking about again integrated geography and how it will help us to use both this science to solve our problems. Now comes the regional geography. It is perhaps the oldest form of geography wherein we are studying regions. It studies the specific unique characteristic of places related to their culture, economy, topography, climate, politics and environmental factors. Now, when we are talking about specific description of a region, we study certain characteristics. For example, if we are talking about point A in a region of a particular area, we can identify this region as unique, as having its own unique climate which is different from rest of the area. So, for example, if point A has a rainfall which is different than the other kind, all right, it will be identified as a different region, or it will have its own uniqueness. So there are specific unique characteristics for that region which are studied. So its main aim is to understand or define the uniqueness of a particular region that consists of natural as well as human elements. So why that particular region will be treated as unique? For example, if we are talking about the mangroves and the ecology entire which we are considering in a region of Indian plains that we have in northeast, then we are defining it with respect to certain unique characteristics. So how we are going to define it, including the natural aspect as well as the human elements in it. So that forms the regional geography. Until the last two decades of 20th century, laid emphasis on cataloging the major physical, economic, demographic and social characteristics of different parts of the world. So what do we had earlier was only the recording of this unique characteristics. So suppose if we are talking about presence of a particular kind of plant which is specific to that region, we might be identified as to that plant which is over there. All right, so it will be recorded that XYZ plant is found here. So suppose if we are talking about one horned rhino, which is specific to a particular region, it would be recorded as that. There will be certain major characteristics which will be recorded pertaining to that particular region. So that was a regional geography. Now this information proved, though this information proved to be useful as to we had the data that we have, it failed to provide any analysis of how geographic arrangements shaped political and social developments or altered the character. So we had all the data as to this is this particular climate or the other one has that much of rain. But it did not provide any further. That is, although we had the data, it was unusable, or we didn't knew how to use it. So modern regional geography is something which is concerned with explanation rather than just the description. So when we are talking about, say, a particular region is getting so much amount of rain, today's modern regional geography is explaining why is it getting so much amount of rain, why is it that the other regions are not getting so much amount of rain. So it is not only defining and identifying but describing it ahead. It does not look at regions in isolation but in relation with constant development. Again, we are talking about the constant variables that happen. For example, we are talking about why it rains so much in that particular region. We are talking about how wind patterns, how the changing temperature or how the changing pressure gradient will affect it, and what can we do to either decrease it or increase it, or what can be done to make sure that certain human activities, are, if at all are affecting, won't affect it further. So this is what is modern regional geography. Now let us check what are geography recent developments. Now we have the data or the accurate data, and how are we going to use it? I mean, how do we use it for modern day geographers' factual knowledge regarding environment and places, plus their understanding on spatial organization principles should be applied in town, city, country and regional planning. Now we know that globalization is taking place, we know urbanization is taking place, so we have certain knowledge like the urban geography which can be used in specific town planning. The way the towns might be planned will be in such a way that it will negate the impacts. For example, if we know that if we want to plan a particular city, we might plan in such a way that it has minimum negative effects on the environment. So it has to be a sustainable development or sustainable planning. Furthermore, if there are certain principles in geography which can take place and which can help in creating certain constructions. So suppose if we are talking about certain cities which have more torrential rains, we might plan the construction of a building in such a way, use architectural architecture designs in such a way that it helps us helps protect the buildings from maximum damage. There might be also certain other principles which can be used. For example, there are architects who come up with special designs to design certain buildings which might stop wind erosion, or at least minimize wind erosion in countries or in cities which have heavy blow of winds or heavy wind patterns. There are also other kinds of things which will come up here. Now, geographical analysis could inform the understanding of current patterns and trends and preparation of plans for the future. So, since we have the data, we know how we can predict the future in a way that, suppose if we know a certain region is susceptible to more typhoons or more cyclones or more earthquakes, we might plan the things in such a way that most of the losses might not happen. So for example, if we are talking about certain islands which have which shows sea level rising in certain months for say, you know, there is monsoon coming and the sea level rises, so care would be taken by constructing buildings or constructing houses away from the beachfront or away from the coastal areas. So there are certain plannings which can be done for the near future. By 20th century, human geography was a source of predicting the least cost and economically most efficient locations for facilities such as supermarkets and hospitals. Now, when geography was introduced in town planning, it gave us certain specific areas which might be used more better for, say, business centers because of its proximity with respect to sea or other things. And certain other facilities will work better if we are talking about land usages here and how geography influenced that. This activity is widely termed as geodemographics. Now, here certain examples can be taken place. For example, we see a trend which we see now is the second homes and how it is marketed in India. So suppose if we are talking about taking second homes, most of the people will take the advertisements that we have are the second homes are located in areas which are near to the major cities, but they are outside cities. The areas which are located are more scenic or have more nature around it. So it is used in marketing as well. So these particular areas become famous as second homes because, say, certain climatic conditions or it's pleasant climatic conditions over there, certain geographical aspects which are there. So the term geodemographics is used wherein people use the aspects of geography with respect to planning certain constructions or buildings or for human use. So some small scale geographical studies, the further geographical studies that we have are tracing the diffusion of pollutants through water channels, identifying mineral deposits within local ecosystems, monitoring local environment changes and processes. So on a small scale, this is the study that is taken. So we know which kind of or what kind of pollutants are there. Then we can find out the solution for it. Furthermore, local environmental changes, that is how locally it is affecting. For example, we know that overall data is given in a particular city. There are certain parts of cities which might be heated up more. There are certain cities which are towns or parts of cities which come up as to be more polluted than the other parts. And on large scale, it would include predicting future ice sheet melting, sea levels, and the limits of cultivation of various plants. So that's the summary of the session that we had, the chapter. We dealt with introduction as to what geography is, definitions of geography, uses of geography, the purpose of studying geography, physical, human, social, integrated geography, regional geography, these were the types of or subjects of geography, and the recent developments of geography. Now, when we are talking about geography and tourism, we will see in further chapters how important geography or climate of a particular location is, and why does it act as a positive effect on tourism of that particular region. So thank you. That's the end of this chapter. I hope this session was helpful, and we will see in further chapters more importance of geography with respect to tourism.